Dear friends in Christ, hear the word of God from Mark 10. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man never put asunder. I've adapted this story from an article by Max Licato in his book, Just Like Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, an 8-year-old boy received a puppy for Christmas, and he named his new friend Liz. His mom and dad made it clear in the prenuptial agreement that he was to be Liz's caretaker, and the young man was happy to oblige. He cleaned her little eating dish and opened her puppy food. The minute she lapped up her water, the boy got more. He kept her hair combed and her tail wagging. Within a few days, however, his feelings began to change. Liz was still his dog, and he was still her friend, but the boy began to grow weary of her constant barking, and she sure seemed to be hungry an awful lot. And more than once his parents had to say, "Take care of her. She's yours, you know." Pretty soon the little boy didn't like hearing those words, "She's yours, you know." Oh, he didn't mind hearing, "She's your puppy to play with," or "your puppy when you want her," but he began to get annoyed when they said, "Liz is your puppy, period. In sickness and in health, for richer or for poor, in joy and in sorrow, in dryness and wetness, until death do you part." And that's when it finally occurred to the little boy, "I'm stuck with Liz." At that moment, the courtship was over and the honeymoon ended. They were mutually leashed. Liz went from being an option to an obligation, from a pet to a burden, from someone to play with to someone to care for. Perhaps you husbands and wives can relate. Maybe you too have felt the claustrophobia that comes with commitment. Only instead of being reminded she's your pet, you're told he's your husband or she's your wife. Such permanence can lead to panic, as it did that little 8-year-old boy. Can I tolerate the same flat-nosed, hairy, hungry face every morning breathing on me? You wives know the feeling. Am I going to be barked at until the day I die? Any husbands connecting? Such are the questions we ask when we feel stuck with someone. The medical term for this condition is stuckitis. According to some medical dictionary, attacks of stuckitis are limited to people who breathe. The attacks typically occur between birth and death, mostly between those who are mutually leashed in marriage. Stuckitis manifests itself in irritability, short fuses, grousing, complaining, and a mountain range of molehills. The most common symptom of stuckitis is the repetition of questions beginning with the words who, what, and why. Who is this person? What was I thinking? And why didn't I listen to my parents? When you experience episodes of stuckitis, there are only three ways to cope with it. You can either flee, or fight, or forgive. Many opt to flee, to get unleashed, to divorce, to get out of the relationship and start over elsewhere in search of Prince Charming or Cinderella, refusing to face reality that there finally is no perfect Prince Charming except for Jesus Christ, whose forgiving love for us enables us to view our flawed spouses as our prince or princess, because that's how he viewed us. The reality is, you're being married in church by some guy in a medieval bathrobe does not guarantee your marriage a 100,000-mile lifetime bumper-to-bumper warranty. So when one or the other breaks down on the road of life, there are many who simply try to deal with it by trading in for a newer, shinier, spiffier model. They opt to flee, although they're often shocked to find out that stuckitis reappears on the other side of the fence as well. and its only cure is Jesus. The Pharisees tried to trap Jesus when they asked, "Is a man permitted to divorce his wife for any and every reason, including burning the roast beef?" Notice Jesus' answer. It was because of the hardness of your hearts that Moses permitted this. What do the scriptures say? A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man never put asunder. Sadly, divorces do happen. We aren't sinless like Adam and Eve before the fall. This isn't paradise. Sin and self-centered selfishness have had their way with our marriages. We live in a divorce-oriented world. If the car is broken down, we get a new one. If the house is broken, we move. If the congregation is broken, we find another church. If the marriage is broken, we leave. Divorce has become almost an accepted part of life. Divorce does happen. It even happens to Christians. We need to be honest about this. We need to talk frankly. Most of all, we need to confess it, for it is a sin, and let Jesus forgive us for it. Whenever divorce happens, sin is always involved. If there were no sin between husbands and wives, there would be no divorce. And the danger is that hardened hearts tend to become callous towards God. I've never met anyone go through a divorce who wasn't affected spiritually. If you are troubled by these words of Jesus, bring it to confession. That's what believers in Christ do with brokenness in their lives, including broken marriages and divorces. They gather up the broken pieces and set them at the feet of their Heavenly Father and humbly say, "I'm sorry, I broke it." No excuses, no finger pointing, just confession. And the Savior, who has never and will never divorce you, will assure you, "I still love you and forgive you, my bride." A second option some couples choose when they're facing stuckitis is that they fight. Houses become combat zones. The spouses look more like battle-weary soldiers than lovers. Tension becomes a way of life. Every move becomes a pawn or a calculated attack as the opposing force works to get the upper hand in the war, trying to get their way, even if it makes each other's life a living hell. One couple was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary when someone asked the husband the secret of the longevity of their marriage. The husband replied, "Well, the wife and I made this agreement when we first got married, that whenever she was bothered by something, she would just tell me and get it off her chest. And if I was mad at her about something, I would go out and work in the garden. I suppose you could attribute our happy marriage to the fact that I have the nicest garden in the county." The second way that couples deal with stuckitis in marriage is that they fight the one they promised to love, for better or for worse, until death do we part. A few, however, who face stuckitis in their marriage discover there is another treatment option, and it's forgiveness. And this brings us to Jesus. How did Jesus deal with stuckitis? You see, Jesus knew the feeling of being stuck with someone. For 3 years, he ran around with the same motley crew. He saw the same faces staring at him across the table, around the campfire, around the clock. They rode in the same boats, walked the same roads, and no doubt they all had their own irritating idiosyncrasies like we all do. Not only that, but Jesus knew what it was like to be stuck with a sinful bride, because our love for Jesus is often fickle, unfaithful, and fleeting. Jesus knew the feeling of being stuck with a sinful bride and either loving her, leaving her, or fighting her. So what did Jesus do? He didn't flee, he didn't divorce us, and he didn't fight. So how did he deal with his stuckitis? With a towel, a basin of water, and finally a cross. John 13 says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. As the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table, took off his outer cloak, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When you're in marriage for a long time, you're going to face episodes of stuckitis. So how will you deal with them? Flee, fight, or forgive? Jesus dealt with us with a towel, a basin of water, and a cross. He forgave us. But I could never stoop that low after what he or she did to me, you object. Remember, the one with the towel, basin, and cross stooped down to forgive us after all we did to him. The hands that our sins nailed to the cross are washing away the filth from the disciples' feet. The Lord, before whom all people will one day kneel, now kneels down to wash his bride's feet. Jesus dealt with stuckitis with forgiveness, and it works. It really does. Again, you object, I could never love my spouse like that. The wounds are too deep. You're right. You can't. The sinful you, who always loves yourself first, who demands your way, you, the sinner, can't love your spouse that way. But Christ lives in you, if you are a Christian, and through you can enable you to love your spouse as Jesus loved you. 1 John 4 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God so loved us, let us likewise love one another. Jesus' love does away with the need to flee and to fight. The best marriage counseling I can give every couple is that you worship regularly, because the message of the cross, of Jesus forgivingly and loving his undeserving bride, enables both husbands and wives to kneel as Jesus knelt, to love as Jesus loved, to forgive as Jesus forgave. Isn't it interesting that of all the men in that upper room on the night before Jesus died, only one of them was worthy of having his feet washed, and he was doing the washing. The only one worthy of being served was doing the serving. What a wonderful picture for our marriage. The burden of loving falls on the strong one, or on the one who was offended, not the weak. The burden of forgiving falls on the one who was wronged. The one who is innocent is the one who makes the gesture and takes the lead in setting things right. Jesus didn't wait till we repented to go to the cross. He went to the cross before we repented, even without our permission. That's how he loved his bride. If you feel your spouse has deeply hurt you, it actually falls on you, the hurt one, to make the first move to set things right, which is what Christ did for his bride. And do you know what happens? If the one who was hurt begins to wash the feet of the one who is in the wrong, it won't be long before both of them are on their knees washing each other's feet. Christ's forgiveness, rather than the silent treatment, throwing dishes, having a headache, or packing your bags, is the cure to stuckitis. Relationships and marriages not only survive, they thrive, not when the guilty get their comeuppance, but when those who are hurt forgive. It's not easy, but it works. And the only way that you will find the strength to love like this is when you look to God's Son bleeding to death on a cross for his sinful bride, you and me. When you and I say to our spouse, because Jesus loved me when I didn't deserve it, I still love you. Because Jesus didn't flee or fight, but he forgave me, I will not flee or fight you, but with Christ living in me, I will forgive you. And those words, I forgive you, are healing balm. Those are marriage-building words. Those words, I forgive you, carry the cross and love of our Prince Charming, Jesus, to our spouse. And when we speak those words to our spells, those words actually echo back to us and vibrate our own eardrums of what Christ did for us. I forgive you. And they replace stuckitis with a whole new perspective in our marriages. Because Jesus was stuck on me even unto death, I'm stuck on you even until death do us part. Amen.